Our Father, we open the precious Word of God again, and we thank you, Lord, what you've said. And Lord, we're able today to see things we never man's seen before in man's history. We'd be able to probe into space in ways that man's never done before, other than look into space and wonder about a lot of things. And Lord, as we see the vastness of this universe, it certainly shows to us who are saved the power of God. And yet to the rest of the world who refuses the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they limit themselves in understanding and turn to the elements around them that comes from man and gives man, who is the creature that's created by God, the ability to speak about things more so than God himself. But I pray this would be a place where God would be honored and near as we can speak the words that he'd have us speak for his glory and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's been done as we yield to the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. But I want to go back and read a couple things for you. When I saw this, I wrote this down, and I've kept this for a good while. I scribbled it down, kept it for a number of years now, and I'm glad I did, because it fits in what we're going to be looking at here. He said this first of all. He said, God is not outside of space and time. He quote, and I quote him, he said, God is space and time. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. Listen, if God is space and time, then space and time has as much power as he does. If God is space and time, then God didn't create it. Does that make sense to you? The first thing that bared to my heart was then, how can that be? Because if space and time is the same as God, God didn't create it. If God created it, then he's the creator, and therefore space and time is part of his creation. And I believe that, and the Bible backs that up. So look at the people who listened and no doubt saw that program and talking about the gods. And he went further and he said, God uses the Big Bang theory and evolution for creation. God set the boundaries for life. Now, I know this. God spoke it into existence. We have the Word of God to tell us that. As a matter of fact, just hold there Psalms 139, and we look in Hebrews chapter 11 when we talked about faith. You know, is faith such things, everything not seen? He said, for the elders created a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So that tells me right there that it was framed by the Word of God. Now, somebody said, well, maybe that's the Big Bang. No, I don't use the Big Bang in my theory thinking, because if I do, that's setting the world's right. I'm telling you, it was done by God's Word. Now, that's powerful. In fact, I think that's more powerful than the Big Bang. Now, somebody said, well, there's no difference. If he did it and exploded everything, like, and they try to give how space exploded and these different things happened, so forth, maybe from each other, and they got all this theory how it took place, and all this is a theory. But we have the facts. God did it by the word of his power. Not only that, he tells us in chapter 1 that he holds it together by the word of his power. Now, God is the self-existent one, the all-powerful, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God, or he's not. And if he's not, he's lying. I've got to tell you, the Bible says he cannot lie. So I believe it with all my heart. And so we go on and we see, then he said, not one moment of creation, but many. There's not one moment of creation. There's many moments of creation. Now, they go and try to prove that by their saying there's things now that's disintegrating. There's other things that are becoming been seen through the means of creating themselves in some form, that how the universe works in producing things and destroying things. They try to use that. But when they use that, they're talking about it doing it itself. And we know there's no way in this world that which has no life in it can give life to itself. You've got to have life to give life, and our life came from God. And he says, all places where things were created collapsed. Now, that's true, too. I have no trouble with that, especially that's because of sin. It does collapse. And so there are things in the universe that are collapsing. The stars commit novas all the time. And then there's others that appear in different places, and we found that in our particular day. He said, all do not share the same creation story. Well, I expect that if you get as many opinions as people has down through the years. But I'm glad God keeps his record straight. Amen. It's been that way ever since he's inspired this book. It's been written, preserved for our day. We read it, and I don't find where he ever inspired another book saying this was wrong. I find a lot of books saying written by men saying this is wrong, but that's the thing about it. I go back, there's two parallels in this life. There's one parallel based on what God says, and we see it through the Scriptures. The second parallel is what man says and is inspired by Satan, and we see those two parallels really even though they began in Genesis after creation, fall of man. When you get to Genesis chapter 10 and Nimrod and see what God did in chapter 12, God called Abraham out, you see two systems running parallel to each other. That system is the same today. The only thing about today is one parallel is what God says, and we have this. And the other is what everybody else says, man says, and he's inspired by Satan in those situations. So he says, all do not share the same creation stories. But, he said, these beliefs should unite us rather than divide us. Doesn't that sound just like Satan? Now, I'm sure he's honest in what he did. He was just narrating what he was told by what the scientists were saying and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. When he said these beliefs should unite us rather than divide us, that's what you sin with everything that's away from God. Did you know just about anybody can get along with anybody else as long as they believe what they believe, unless they begin to bring God of the Bible and Jesus Christ into it? So it tells to me that that's certainly, it tells me that error will agree with error and get along with error, but truth will divide. And therefore, God is truth. He is light. Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. And so therefore, what anything he would say would actually be against anything the world would say. He says each faith has a chosen person chosen by God. Now, I don't see how in the world, I know there is different categories of faith. I mean, man has faith every day in things that he does and describe faith. But there's only one biblical faith. There's only one Godly faith, and I say that because we know there's only one true God, where this world has many gods in it, and of course, a lot of times they always change from the creator to the creature. Religion worships the creation more so than the creator, and in turn, they make their gods up in their own mind and so forth. He said all religion leaders believe God chose them in their position. Well, I believe that. I believe that they do that too, but that doesn't mean that their God is right. There's a lot of false gods. And I don't think anybody who said think they're following a God, they put in their minds God, would think that they're following unless they've been chosen of God to do so in the sense of leadership. And then he named these. He said, for instance, Jesus Christ is chosen by God for the Jew. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what has happened here, then he goes on, he says, Muhammad was chosen by God for Islam. And he said that Hussein suffered for Islam. He said Catholics, popes is chosen by God. He said the Hindu gurus are. But the thing about it is, I saw an article on that later, and I didn't realize that I thought a guru was a human being, and they are in certain eras. But the guru they had there was a book in Hindi. Anybody ever see that? It amazed me. It was a book that was in a personality on paper, and they said the reason they left human beings for the book that they go, and they had in this big case and a big monumental type thing where they worship, he said instead of having the individual had the book because no earthly desire nor deception is found in the book, and it is in the hearts of men. And when they got off that, I said, well, I was shocked because I thought, sure, it was a human being there, but well, they waited last minute to show that, and this book was the, how can I say, well, the God itself, what it said. Now, we know this is God's word, but I don't worship the book. I worship the God and the word of the book. This is the thing about it. This book is no more than just paper written on it. It's to be respected and honored, but I'll tell you, what's in this book is what's important and the words that God has inspired for us in our particular day. And he goes on and he said, then in Thailand, they had many gods. And they went there and talked to those people about their gods and what they had and where they were at. I never seen the like of gods that was there. Then it said back in 1900 in Dakota, the tribe Indian, there was a woman that taught that she was chosen to reject Mother Earth, and therefore they worship her now. And then he said, whatever one's faith may be, we need them. Can you see where the world's going? You see in the last days? No, we need the God of this Bible. And we need the faith that this Bible tells us about in Hebrews chapter 11. Everybody who believes in anything has a type of faith in that. But on the other hand, it's fake faith. And they don't realize that. Of course, they would tell us, oh, you're just a narrow mind. You can't see anything. I'm glad I am on these things, folks. I believe God is pleased in what I'm saying tonight. just as much so as he would to a prophet of old speaking about the things when the world was going one way and trying to get his people to go the same way. Then he said, people connect with God in different ways. I expect that from people who believe in different gods. Now that's saying this. If people connect with gods in different ways, that means every God's got a way to connect to it. God has a way to connect to him too. And it's through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, God lives to see that he's manifest, and that's the reason the world who won't accept him rejects him and hates him and anybody who follows him. Everybody else's God is equal because it's just made of man's mind, or they created it themselves. That's no power, no fear of it whatsoever. And so they can say, well, you believe in your God, and we believe in our God, and you believe in your God, and believe in our God. And when we get there, all our gods will get together and get us at the right place. I'm going to tell you, there's only one God's going to get us the right place. He's the God of this Bible. I don't understand why people can't see that. I'm not a very smart individual, but I'm glad I got hooked on this thing even years ago when I got born again as a young man. I'm glad this book became a part of my diet in life of 57 years to help me understand some things you can set your teeth in and be sure that God will give you the absolute power and absolute understanding of who he is if you want to know that. If not, Satan will just lead us on the wrong path. And then Joe Osteen, bless his heart, said this, God wants to be your best friend. And I wrote down right then, no, God wants to be your heavenly father through the new birth. Because you believe God when you do that. Isn't it amazing, folks? You tell me where the millions of the thousands of people are following when we see things like this. By the way, this is just one thing that has happened through the years. Now, I want to go back and read quickly in Psalm 139, just a few verses. This is written by David. And as I read this, it goes to show back. And David knew nothing about embryology science. He knew nothing about a baby growing in a mother's womb. He knew where babies come from. He knew what took place to have a child. But they didn't understand what we can see today. And you can go most anywhere and you see videos and things about life and how it comes about together. I will never forget the first time I had the privilege to see the beginning of a child formed in a mother's womb. I always thought, that when the blood vessels started and the bones started, they started like here and grew out like this. It amazes me. They didn't. They start anywhere and grow everywhere. It amazes me. It looked like no systematic pattern at all, but when it ended up, look what it does. Isn't it amazing? It'll blow your mind looking at it, and then all of a sudden, you look at it and just say, how in the world can you come from nothing? It's up a little scene in conception, and all of a sudden, that's the most miraculous thing. It blows my mind that can happen, and yet it's a normal thing in God's creation. And David didn't know all about that. He knew nothing about microscope cells. He knew it's so small that the letter zero, they say, on a page could contain 30 to 40,000 of them. Each cell is in a world in itself containing some 200 trillion tiny molecules and atoms. And yet, not read all of the Psalm, but look what he said in verse 13. For thou hast possessed my rings, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous of thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought the lowest part of the earth. Speaking about his mother's womb there. Thy eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is continuous, were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. Isn't that amazing? Nothing there, and suddenly through the procreation, God brought this about. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, he said, O God. How great is the sum of them. I count them, if I count them, they're more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. He says, surely thou shalt will slay the wicked, O God, depart from me, therefore, ye blood men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thy enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord? Isn't that amazing what the Lord David is talking about there when it comes to wickedness? Do I hate them that hate thee, and am not I agree with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred, and you have to understand that. I count them as my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my rings, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. It amazes me how David exalts God up to a point to say things about things that under his spirit, Holy Spirit, he didn't even have no idea how it worked. He's just amazed that it did work. Now, I want to go back and give some thought before we get into the universe itself, back on December 21st in 1968, and I had the privilege, by the way, this is not the first time this fascinated me. I'm so glad I was where I was at. You heard me say my department made switches go into Capsule Adam Shepard's first space shot, and from there we had it, and I have archives and so forth that after each one of those that I kept with me when I left Shawcross and happened, I got them out this week and looked at them, pictures of space and in those early days and what went on. But on December the 21st, NASA launched Apollo 8, which took three crewmen, Frank Borman, James Lovell, and William Anders, to the far side of the moon, the first human being to voyage to another celestial body. How many remembers that? I remember it. And I remember it because not only did I look at it, but in fact, we knew we was part of it in the early starts of that. They traveled through space for 3 days, arriving at the moon on December 24th, then orbited it 10 times. Their fourth time around that witness, something no one had ever seen before. Now, this is 1968, but it was back in 1959, we're going to see when all this started. 1959, 1961, I think, is when. But here he says, their fourth time around witnessed something no one had ever seen before. Now, we're talking about sunrise. Well, they came around the moon, they saw the Earth rise. He said, they saw the Earth rise up from a lunar system that came from the dark side of the moon. Each of the astronauts took turns describing the moon, and then on this Christmas Eve, they read the first 9 verses of the book of Genesis, the story of creation. Now, keep that in mind. And then he said, Borman finished the broadcast, wishing a Merry Christmas to all of you on the good Earth. And then they wrote an article, it was an accident emerging out of the chaos of the universe. It was the careful work of a loving God, a God who created a beautiful home for his children. Now, when he said for his children, he means his creation. We know this since the fall. Man can't be a child of God until he becomes a child of God through the process, either the Old Testament system, the Leviticus system, or through the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Christ paid both sin debt due to coming in the age of grace. Now here, watch this. Not everyone, of course, agreed. The famous atheist Marilyn O'Hara brought a lawsuit against NASA for allowing the reading of the Genesis because the astronauts were government employees and therefore should be banned from performing religious-inspired acts in space. But watch this. Know the difference then and now. The Supreme Court rejected the case in July of 1969 when Apollo 11 landed on the moon. Buzz Aldrin quietly took communion but didn't mention it until several years later, not to fuel the controversy. But the Supreme Court, listen, that blessed might rejected her case. It wouldn't do that today because it's gone too far. Now, when I think about having a part to do with that, and like I said again, I remember Alan Shepard on one of the original NASA Mercury 7 in 1959. That's when we got started in that and was working towards this goal. In 1961, he made the first manned Project Mercury flight in a spacecraft from Freedom 7. He was the first astronaut to travel in space, and he retired from the Navy August 1st, 1974. He died July 21st, 1998. That was only 19 years ago when he died. Of course, I thank the Lord again. I have some stuff on that. And isn't it amazing? Never did I know that at those days, what would be taken today and studied. This is one of the most fabulous studies I've ever done about God and been having so much access to look at. He can enhance your heart to know he's so great, folks. I wonder why he deals with us. I'll be honest with you. When he said he's got a love, he is love. Because I'm going to tell you, he don't need us. But he loves us. And this world, God has left so much for us to see, to know he's there, that it just can't happen. It must break his heart to look at this earth and where he put his image man and see that most of the people on this earth will not believe that God of this Bible is the God. Now, when I think about this and studying the last few weeks, and there have been weeks on it right now, I think about some of the discussions I used to have where I worked at and how then that helped me study a lot in those days. Never knew I'd be to see what I see today. But I want you to look and go back with me and look a few things. I want to talk about the universe, and we're going to take a little trip on it just by word. Go back to Psalm 19, and let's read verse 1 through 6, and let's see what God has to say before we get into this information. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this story on the National Geographic said that God is space, and time. That means then that if he's space and time, then he's got to be matter too. When God created in the beginning, the heavens and the earth, he created space, time, and matter. And that's something that he created. It was not there before. If God is space and time, then it was there before, and there's equal to him. Anything that was with him before in the everlasting past is equal to him, because no one, unless they are eternal, can be there. So everything that we see up to the time of Genesis 1, and except the period of time a little before that he created the angels, there was no one in the everlasting past except God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And now, one day in the future, time will go out, you heard me say, merge back into eternity, and there will be God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and the saints of God who believe the record of God's Son in the age of grace as he works through that. But if you notice here, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Now, what we see, could see in the past, is nothing compared to what we see today. If there's ever been a time that the heavens can declare the glory of God, it's today. Because we see so much more than we've ever seen before. Watch how he talks about it in this poetic drama way. He said, day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. In other words, every day there's something you can see about God's creation, and you can't see what you see at night. And at night you see something that you can't see in the daytime. And he says, as every day, 24-hour day goes by, we see the evidence that God has said that he exists, because we see what we see in the daytime, and in daytime can see a lot further than we can see at night except for the stars that are there. And yet we have telescopes today that goes way into space. And he talks about how that they utter speech. In other words, they're there. You know why they do it? They're there as God declares himself who he is. They're there to back up that declaration that God is the one who did this. They're there as, like we see in Romans chapter 1. And then he said, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Isn't that amazing? There's no place on this earth that they don't see that. Every day the sun comes up just like it always does. And as he puts it about here, he said, their line is gone out throughout of the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them he had set a tabernacle for the sun. So it would come. For since God made the earth and surrounded, that system has worked 24 hours a day. And every night, every day, every night, every generation for 6,000 years could still see what we see today, except we have a blessed thing to see further than they've ever seen. And then notice he said, which is the sun is like a bridegroom in verse 5, cometh out of the chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run the race. You know why? Because he never gives out. It never gives out. And by the way, it'll stay there until God gets ready for it to give out. Amen. The strong man never gives out. He always is consistent. And so he sets it up in poetic type language like that. And then he said, his going forth is from the end of the heavens, and is circling to the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Now, if you look also in Romans chapter 1 with me, I just give you a few verses in the New Testament. Some people say, well, that's Old Testament. They weren't as far along as we are now. But in Romans chapter 1, look down about verse 18 through 28. I won't read all these because this says another time years later. And we're talking about 2,000 to 3,000 years later. It may have been longer than that. In Psalms, he said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous of men who hold the truth and unrighteous. That is, they hold back the truth because of unrighteousness. They refuse to believe the truth because of unrighteousness. He said, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. For God has showed it to them. That which may be known of God is manifested, what you see in the daytime and the nighttime, and now what we see beyond anything we've ever seen before. God can be seen in his creation. His creation is the voice of God, that when you hear him about his record, you hear, and what you see, you hear that voice crying out, because you know within a good intellectual mind, it could not have been there by itself. And he goes on, he said, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And he's saying, but you can see all these things that are manifested. It don't prove you that the invisible things about him is true. Even though God is an invisible God, it don't prove that there's a God that exists. because you have the privilege to see that hold its course down through the ages, and it'll be there until the Lord sets everything straight. Then he said in verse 20, because that when they knew God, why does people do like that? Why is it that you see this thing I just read tonight where it was a special? He said, because that when they knew God, they glorified not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and therefore foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible of God into the image like making a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And once you find, they began to worship the creature rather than the creator. And here he's showing, here God is showing, when you reject knowledge, you can't have anything then except to disregard God, which leads to idolatry. And ladies and gentlemen, when you get to idolatry, it's too late to turn around just about, especially on a large scale. And God had no choice but to say what he did after that. In fact, he said, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts and dishonor their own bodies, and who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship the servant, a creature more than the creator, who is blessed forevermore. For this cause God gave them up to affection. He gave them right over to what they wanted to do. And I want to read more of that right now, because I want to get into a little bit of this other. In 2 Corinthians, let me read that to you. I got a few verses that leads into this study. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 13, verse 5 through 7, Paul said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith or not. Approve your own self. Know ye not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate. Now, reprobate, you heard me say many times, is a perverted mind that deals with speculation rather than truth, and God will not approve of that. He said in verse 6, but I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. For I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should approve, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. You may look at us as failure, Paul said, for preaching what we're preaching and teaching, but we're not reprobates. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 3, we also saw God created by the word of his power. And I already read Psalms 139, verse 13, through those few verses that are there. But can I give you a little preliminary? I want to talk to you a little bit, and I don't think I know to do, because these figures are so beyond. I've got them documented, and it's an amazing thing. We live in a universe so vast that it's beyond the power of the human mind even to imagine how great it is. It's impossible to create, if you don't believe that. The earth we live on is a part of the solar system of planets and other heavenly bodies that revolve around the sun. We know that. To try to get an idea of the size of our solar system apart from the rest of the universe is more than enough to stagger the imagination of the mind of a normal person. But we're not going to talk about just our galaxy, but many galaxies. And we're going to go into that. Now, I want to give this to you. If you ever wonder why the moon has been selected for the first of the heavenly bodies to be visited by United States spaceships, one of the reasons, among others, is that comparatively speaking, the moon is right at our doorsteps, only 228,000 miles away. And yet it's on our doorsteps. Or not as far away as the distance it would take to go around the Earth itself 10 times. Now, only a mere 228,000 miles to the moon, compared to the fact that the Earth is 93 million miles from the sun. The planet Mars is around 47 million miles further from that. And then the planet Jupiter is around 343 million miles further out from Mars. Saturn is 390 miles further out beyond Jupiter. I'm talking about, you take with 228,000 miles to the moon, it's simple. But you're talking about now, look where we're at. Uranus is 900 million miles beyond Saturn. And Neptune around 1,114 miles beyond that. And then you finally come out there with the planet Pluto. The furthest known planet in our solar system, unless there has been another recent discovery, and they say now they have, he said that been over 3.5 billion miles from Earth and 1 billion miles. If you don't understand exactly how much it is, it's 1,000 million miles. Now, it's no wonder then that scientists want to get a spaceship to the moon and safely back before it began to list to go to these other planets. According to the mathematician and astronomers, and scientists, our solar system, of which is a part of the heavens, is billions upon billions a mile in diameter. Now, I'll give you just a thought. Now, when you think for a minute about the fact that as vast as our solar system is, it's only a very teeny part of a giant galaxy of stars beyond the Milky Way. A galaxy thought to contain around 100,000 million or 100 billion stars. And think about it. Being a part of the galaxy of stars numbering around 100 billion. That's just our galaxy. But there is more to the universe than the galaxy of stars which we have here. Astronomers tell us that they have already found over a billion galaxies of stars in the universe. Some are much bigger than ours. That's what we've learned just by those millions of dollars shooting spaceships up into the space is let us know that. They tell us that we have already found over a billion galaxies of stars in the universe, and that some of the stars, watch this, some of the stars that they have noticed and tracked on are so big that you can put a million times a million little Earths in them. I mean, this looks big enough, doesn't it? But we know that from what we see. And then tell me that it just happened. We've long since left a place where I could imagine the vastness of which the astronomers speak, but try to stretch your imagination a bit further. And then I'll close with this. The speed of light which is traveled is said to be 186,000 miles per second. We talked about it a few weeks ago. At that rate of speed, now notice, we're talking about 186,000 miles per second. At that rate of speed, if a person could get on a light ray and use it for transportation, he could go to the moon and back a round trip 460,000 miles in less than 3 seconds. That's less than the time that I had time to read that sentence. As a matter of fact, here's how fast it would be if he's on that light beam. Watch this. Let me get one and see it. Tick, tick, tick. That's 3 seconds. Father in heaven, thank you again, Lord, for letting us see things that blows our mind, and yet we know you're there. Holy Spirit, thank you for letting us look into things that don't take us away from you. In fact, it's so great, it's hard to believe anything unless God did it. And I'm glad you assured our hearts you did. And Lord, as we look at our own galaxy and see how that traveling, we can't travel. That's the reason we don't talk about millions of miles and billions of miles anymore. We have to talk about light years. 186,000 miles per second, a light year is how far you could go traveling at 186,000 miles per second each year. And yet even there, it takes hundreds and hundreds and millions of years sometimes, and certainly to go some of the place we're already found. Lord, help us. Help us look into this through the Word of God, because that's the only way we have. We didn't have your Word and the Holy Spirit living us. It'd be so vast. You've let us learn some today that men in the past never knew. And yet it'll enhance our hearts and life of who you are. And I bow before you and I worship you. And I thank you so much that you loved us. And know you didn't need us. But you loved us. You loved us for the foundation of the world. And I'm so glad the more I see you, I understand that this thing of salvation is a birth. It's not putting on like a cloak of religion. You can take it on, you can put it off, you can put it back on, put it on. No, Father, this is a birth. And what you have in grievous of a birth is real. That's the reason, Father, the world has been sent a different way, it seems like, in religion. That's the reason a lot of folks go to be moved by the flesh rather than by the teaching of God's Word. They claim it's that. They'd rather have a hallelujah course. Nothing wrong with that if it's godly. But many times during a hallelujah course, Lord, they don't get anything but something that fills the flesh rather than helping understand from the mind and the heart and understand that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit wants us to know that in these last days that what you let us see should enhance our heart more to know that you're there and you're real. And one day what you said is going to happen. Now, this world may be mocking you now, but you won't mock it one day. Out of your love and grace. They may spurn your love and grace today. They may trample the blood of Jesus Christ under the foot today. But God, you one day will have revenge. And we know that. And yet those you take revenge against will be those you love so much and prepared for them. And they turned down the blessed record of God's Son, that we might know the great God of this universe, whom spoken worlds will form, as our Heavenly Father. Wow. All I can say, Lord, thank you for that. Because as my Heavenly Father, I'm not scared, I'm not afraid. I can come right to the throne of grace. As our Heavenly Father, we can come and lay anything down before you, Lord, and you teach us to do that. Come and not be afraid, and make our petition before you, and you'd hear our petition. Lord, grant to us to understand that you're not just fooling, and you're not just playing. Help us see as you really are, and then realize what a great thing to know you by grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.